concept of a generous spirit in three different areas. First, there's this idea of remembering God owns everything. Second, remembering that Jesus gave everything. And third, remembering eternal investment. So let's look at the first one. Let your generous spirit build right relationships for eternity by, number one, remembering that God owns everything. Verses 1 through 7. I remember in college, I worked for the admissions department, and we did tours for the campus at Asbury. And the lady that was in charge of us in the admissions department, I was going to go to homecoming or something for that freshman year, and I did not have a car that year. And I remember she found out I didn't have a car, and she said, "You can borrow my car." And those of us that have cars, it's kind of scary to loan your car to someone. Have you ever done that? It's not gone well. Yes, scary. And so I was pretty astounded that she was willing to loan her car to me. And so I was inquiring a little more, and she said, "Well, my car is God's car, and I try to use it to bless others." And I remember that was one of the first times I had heard someone have this idea that everything belongs to God. God owns everything, and I am a steward. And it was neat to see she wasn't up here preaching. She wasn't doing devotion with her life. She was using her possessions, realizing that she was a steward and that everything she had belonged to God, and she wanted to use those to bless someone. And if there was a need, and she did it fairly out of heart. I didn't even try and convince her to let me borrow her car for homecoming. She did it generously, and thankfully I didn't wreck it or anything. Nothing happened, so it didn't turn out well for her. But she also realized if it didn't, it's still God's car. God's car is broken. You know? So it's an interesting concept. When we understand that everything we have belongs to God, even your abilities, right? A lot of people might be like, "I worked hard for my money." Right? You might hear that. But who gave you the ability to work hard for your money? Who gave you those skills? Who allowed that you were born in North America in this century and you have the opportunities that you have? God as we are here. And so to have your family reject you because you came to Christ would mean you would be destitute. You would not get any loans from that uncle or aunt or your parents. You would be cut off. So verse 2, let me read that again. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme, as he says, like the depths of poverty, not just a little bit, have overflowed. The word there, again, a wealth of generosity on their part. Those seem like oxymorons, don't they? How could these things happen? How do people in extreme poverty have such a generous spirit? Well, they gave themselves to God. They recognize that everything belongs to God. That they are stewards of everything. And so they hold on to it with a lighter hand. When you and I recognize that God owns everything, including us, it frees us not only to give our resources away, but to give ourselves over to serve others with a generous spirit. So I was reading various commentators on this, and one commentator said that in his 30-plus years of ministry, he had never had someone come up to him and say that they struggled with greed. He had many people say, I struggle with lust or various other sins, but he had never had someone say that they struggled with greed. And I've been doing ministry about 20 years, and I never have either. Why is it that nobody seems to struggle with greed? Why do you think that is? Is it something that we're unaware of? Went on to say that the Bible warns against greed at least 10 to 20 more times, not just times, than lust. Like, a lot of times we focus on lust, but that's a tough sin. The Bible's warning us against greed a lot more than some of these other sins. Greed is a bigger danger than lust. So why do you and I not recognize greed or a lack of a generous heart within ourselves? Well, what this commentator was saying is because greed is a sin of the heart. There's not a reference often to know if you've crossed the line with greed. You know, if you lust, you have reference. Adultery is like, yeah, I did it or I didn't. Greed is a sin of the heart. Think back to Jesus' parable of the widow that gave the mite. What did he say there? You guys remember that one? Yeah, how much did she put in? What was the value of it? It's hard, you know. A wealthy person giving 10% might still have a greedy heart. Whereas someone else giving 2 cents might have a generous heart. So it's hard to know when we are not greedy. So I thought this was a good quote. Paul's definition of a generous heart is a frightening thing because the only way you really know whether you're generous or greedy, whether you're greedy and materialistic or not, is not so much by how much you're giving to whom. It is by the emotions, the motivation, and the attitude you feel toward your money. Let me say that again. It is by the emotions, the motivation, and the attitude with which you feel toward your money. A generous heart is one that joyously, proactively, aggressively is looking for ways to give away your money. And you don't stop at some 5%, 3%, or 10%. You don't stop until it's made a measurable difference in the way you're able to live your life, where you're able to eat, where you're able to go on vacation, and how you live. You don't stop until then, and you like it. Because until that is the way your heart operates, you can't be sure you're not greedy or materialistic because it's a matter of the heart. So when he says here in verse 8, you look at this, verse 3, they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord. But later in that chapter, he says, they borrowed to give and didn't become destitute in their giving. But what it did was it was sacrificial. We often hear that word, sacrificial giving. Sacrificial when you and I get to the point that it changes where we can go out to eat. It may change what kind of vacation we go on. It may change what we're able to buy. We don't have quite as much for our hobbies or the things maybe you and I
us, the ones lording it over us, but a generous heart. It's like, I want to help in every way I can. And maybe it was for us to get it to a real level, like, have you sacrificially given to your kids? Do you give them stuff so they can have stuff? I hope so. Most of us do. It's bred from a heart of love. Not just for our family, it's a generous love that spills out to the homeless person, spills out to the person that can never repay us, spills out even to our enemies, God forbid. Generous hearts. It starts with recognizing God has everything. So secondly, not only with our parents, we have to build right relationships by remembering that God owns everything. Second, let your generous spirit build right relationships for eternity by remembering that Jesus gave everything, verses 8 and 9. So we can grow in the generous spirit by recognizing God owns everything. Secondly, we need to remember that Jesus gave everything. And Paul brings that back to the Corinthians in verses 8 and 9. Verse 9, he says this, just like,